Welcome to YahvahYahweh.name. We're talking about control issues. Those who are naive and haven't been around the assembly for very long may run into problems with those who would take advantage of them. Those of us who are vulnerable in some area and ignorant of some areas, and in areas that are not even mentioned in Scripture, there may be those more mature, maybe young ones even, who try to manipulate us to do something else that is not even found in Scripture. And one of those things is marriage. We're going to be talking about today from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, John 17:17, and also a review of the article that I had here on the website for you, Faith and Interpretation of Scripture. A quick review. His word interprets itself. We cannot interpret the ideas in Scripture for ourselves. And a popular saying lately is that the law or the Torah was done away with, and repentance essentially is only for the Jews. Of course, that's a false saying. Another saying is, I was just led by the Spirit. Well, if you're only led by the Spirit, if faith comes out of thin air, then just about anything is justifiable. But our faith comes from studying and hearing the word of Yahweh. Romans 10:17, also John 17:17 says, set them apart, or purify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the word is truth, not somebody else's saying. So let's go to some of these scriptures here. Some of these scriptures having to do with marriage. Now, I am involved in such a concept here with my wife, Penny, having passed away months ago. And now I'm seeking, since I'm a family man, seeking fellowship with another spouse. And some say, well, you're jumping the gun. That's too soon. There is no rule or law about how soon. If it's a time of war, it might be one day. If it's a time of war, if people are losing their lives every day, and there's much danger around, some people may remarry this same day that their partner dies, and people are just falling dead left and right. So that would be an extreme circumstance, of course. We don't go by the extreme circumstances here at this time, because we're in a time of peace. But then again, there is no law that says you have to wait until the exact second from the time that your spouse died until you can remarry. You don't have to wait 1 year up to the exact second. Well, let's see if that's true or not. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 then, and this can apply to other issues, but I'm concerned that there may be those who are a little bit immature or naive out there that would be taken advantage of in their vulnerability. We're going through grieving. Sure, we would like friendship and people to come up and join us in close fellowship. No, we don't want to just cast away caution and just marry anybody who comes along. No, we have to pray in Yahweh that He will send us the right person. But then how does that all happen? Does He just out of thin air? No, well, okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 37 through 39 through and 40 to the end of the chapter there. Nevertheless, as Paul is writing here under the inspiration of the Spirit, nevertheless he that stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. So this is regarding somebody who has married the proper woman. It was found out that she was a maid, she was a virgin, according to Scripture there, Deuteronomy 22. So he will keep his virgin. So he's not going to divorce or get a time of separation. He shall do well. So then he that giveth in marriage does well. But he that giveth not in marriage does better. Because you can give your time to the Messiah and to the Heavenly Father. Verse 30. Well, I added that part there. Verse 39. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives. Now, this could work also for the husband, in some respect anyway, you're bound to be married to that person until the spouse dies. But the wife is under the law of her husband, it says here, until her husband, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married. So she can remarry here under this circumstance, to be married to whom she will, but only in Yahweh. We don't use the LORDs here, as we've explained in previous files and broadcasts and tapes, CDs, but only in Yahweh. So, in other words, according to the stipulations that are found in Scripture, according to what Yahweh says, not what I might think, but according to Yahweh, we're going to marry somebody who's a believer, who calls on the name of Yahweh, who's properly obeying His statutes, judgments, and commandments. And verse 40, but she is happier if she so abide after my judgment. So in other words, she's happier if she is single. And I think also that I have the spirit of Yahweh, Paul wrote there, concluding that chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. And then we back up to almost the beginning. I'm going to read backwards, and you know what I mean. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 8 through 10. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 8. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and to widows, it is good for them if they abide, even as I. So, in other words, to remain single, it's good for them. But if they cannot contain not just the emotions, but the whole realm of the personality, desiring not to be in solitary confinement, such as, I don't want to be in solitary confinement. I don't want to be lonely for the rest of my life. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. Okay, well, that's a real extreme there. And unto the married, I command, yet not I, but Yahweh commands, let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and if she departs, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. That was 1 Corinthians 7, verses 8 through 11. Then I can go back to verses 1 through 4, to the beginning here. Is that okay? Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, nevertheless to avoid fornication. And that's the whole realm of perverted sex and perverted marital relations. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication or illicit relations, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. So those are the duties there of husband and wives. The wife has not power of her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also the husband does not have any power of his own body, but the wife does. Defraud you not one another, except it be with consent for a time that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and some come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. But also, on the Sabbath day, if you go back to Scripture and the Torah, you will see that a man and a woman are not to have marital relations on the Sabbath. Many people disagree, but it's right there in Scripture if you look it up, and I'm sorry I don't have it that handy or cross-referenced for you at the moment. But I do want to look up Hebrews 13, 4. And then we'll talk about how do we select a mate. We don't want to be criticized by others for things that are not even in Scripture. It says 13, 4, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And before that it says in verse 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers Yahweh will judge. We cross-reference that from 1 Corinthians 7. So Hebrews 13, it said there, verse 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. For those who speak against those who have lost their mate, those who speak against us, you know, I've had pastors tell me that perhaps I should not ever have another mate the rest of my life. But that's it. The first wife, after 40 years of marriage, is gone, and you're to be lonely and in solitary confinement the rest of your life. 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, in the last days, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy. Well, that's not the case there with these pastors. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And that, yes, that does happen. What are they doing? Forbidding to marry. They're speaking, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. So that is a more specific case there where they absolutely forbid them to marry. But, my partners or friends out there are wanting me to wait exactly 1 year from the date of death of the partner. And it has to be right up to the last second. And then I'll be free. But right now they're thinking, I have this hypothetical wife out there that I'm thinking of just jumping out without even any thought at all or prayer and marrying this hypothetical woman out there, which is not the case at all, for I don't even know of a woman that I am going to marry. But anyway, we'll talk about that sometime down the road if Yahweh allows for me to meet somebody, such a person in Yahweh, in the faith, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which Yahweh has created to be received with thanksgiving. So those that are specified in Leviticus chapter 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 14 and in the book of the Revelation and Isaiah 66, 65 and 66, talking about unclean foods being an abomination. So we don't, those are not created to be received with thanksgiving, but the foods that he did create that are for our good, the vegetables especially, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe, and for those who know the truth. For every creature of Yahweh is good, and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. Does that just miss any abominable pig or pork, swine, bacon, or anything? No. Because Yahweh's already called it an abomination throughout his word. He's consistent. Even in the future, he calls that abomination. For it is, verse 5, it is set apart by the word, or if it is set apart by the word of Yahweh and prayer. But no, we can't just pray over something and say please, Yahweh, bless this abomination that you've created, this abominable animal, this dog or whatever. Please bless it to the nourishment of my body. And make it not an abomination. No, Yahweh will not make it pure and set apart because he's already said that it was abominable in his eyes. No, I used to eat that when I was a child, and we didn't know any better. Then in the last 20 years or so, 25 years, I came into the knowledge that Yahweh set certain foods apart. So that got into the clean and unclean here in the Torah. But back to the subject of marriage. Solomon chapter 7, that's going to take me a moment here, right after book of Proverbs is where I will find that for one verse, Solomon for three verses, Solomon chapter 7, that's right after Ecclesiastes there, after Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Solomon 7, 10 through 13, okay. Back into marriage. Our marriage with our Heavenly Father, with Yahusha, His Son, with the Messiah. That we are the bride, the assembly. We are His bride, and He is the husband, the bridegroom. And that's symbolized in our marriage with male and one man and one woman here on this earth. Solomon 7, 10 through 13. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance. And, let's see, wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. Okay, that's talking about wisdom. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to them that have it. Consider the work of Yahweh, for who can make that straight which he has made crooked? He's made something crooked? It can't be made straight. And where are we here in Solomon? Let me do that again and try one more time. Solomon. Oh, maybe it's, is it chapter 8, 4 through 7 in my notes? All right, well, let's just try that. But the word of the king is, there is power, and who may say unto him, okay, I see what my problem is. I got back into Ecclesiastes accidentally here. Okay, Solomon, okay, 7. There it is. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. So I, there symbolically, the woman is speaking, but the bride of Messiah is speaking to the Messiah, to the husbandman, to the bridegroom. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my loves. The mandrakes give a smell. At our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee. Oh, my beloved. Yes, Yahweh loves us as symbolized and emphasized in the book of Solomon. For the adults to read. Yeah, for those over 18. Well, we come into maturity anyway. So we read, there it is. And I think we have chapter 8. We've got notes all over here. Solomon chapter 8, 4 through 7. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up, nor awake my love until he please. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. Set me as a seal upon thy heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which has a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither, now you're talking about here the love between a man and a woman in marital relations. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it out. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would not utterly be spent or contemned. Beautiful, beautiful, poetic, symbolic language there in the book of Solomon. As we change gears a little bit, we could have some music. To switch to the other subject here of repentance, sin, salvation, judgment, and deliverance or salvation in Yahushua Messiah. We'll be going to the book of Isaiah, but first of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 is next. So stay tuned and click on the next file there. And remember, our email is StephanYah@YahvehYahweh.com. Oh, excuse me, it is not .com, it's .name. StephanYah@YahvehYahweh.name, N-A-M-E. Thank you for listening.